Wilcox Game at the United Center, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We look at your business for success. It's sponsored by Geico. Visit geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Mike Flannery in for Anna DeVlantzis today as we're out here. And coming up, Rocky Wirtz is going to join us in the program, by the way. And Carbomb, Daniel Carcillo, will be here as well to do the top five at five with us. But right now, here he is. He is the official congressman of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantzis. He is Adam Kinzinger from the 16th Congressional District here in the state of Illinois. And all right, Maverick.
Rokon.
Here we go. We got some, I got some questions about what you thought about what happened last night. But then I want to ask you specifically about the situation in Korea, North Korea, that just occurred today too. But let's start with your analysis of this. Now Trump wins Illinois. Does Trump actually? We just had a guy on a few minutes ago, Tom Serafin. You're probably familiar with him, a political strategist of great note. Who says that since Trump drags so many new Republican voters into the tent, that this is a some gain for Republicans in the state of Illinois come the general election?
Yeah, look, I want to preface this by saying this is no disrespect to anybody that supports Trump. I mean, he's tapped into an anger and a concern people have, and I understand that concern. But what I've seen, you know, unless he completely changes his tune, and a lot of what he said is you know, on tape, on the record, I think he does more to alienate people. You have to win Hispanics. You have to do better among Hispanics than we've traditionally done as Republicans. You don't do that with some of the rhetoric of Donald Trump. I think, you know, making fun of the disabled reporter, saying you like people that weren't captured. I mean, this is the kind of rhetoric that I think is focused on dividing a country to get ahead and not really focused on uniting the country. And as Republicans, we don't bring more people into the tent, personally, I don't think, with a message of division. We do it with a message of optimism and inclusion.
Well, today, he said, told CNN that if he doesn't win on the first ballot in Cleveland, there will be riots.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's the kind of rhetoric that happens. Now, I want to be very clear about Cleveland. When we had our primary yesterday, we weren't voting for the president. We were voting for delegates to go to the convention and nominate the president. That's what's technically happening. So, you know, the rules are somebody has to go there with a majority of delegates. If somebody does not get there with a majority of delegates, it naturally goes into what's called a brokered convention. And this is no, you know, RNC, quote, establishment conspiracy. This is just how it works. And
so as somebody, congressman, who's going to the convention, do you plan to riot?
No, I have no intention to riot. I have no intention.
He has no intention. You should say, at this time. At this time, I have no.
Yeah, you could get caught up in emotion, man. Who knows? Somebody throws a chair and it all goes.
No, it's on. All right. So when you have an interesting moment, because you just pointed at something, and Mike, you've been watching this. When you look at who won the delegates in the congressional districts, the additional delegates, you're noticing it was funny because Trump had a guy with a name that seemed to be South Asian of some sort. Nabi Fakhruddin, who did not win as a Trump delegate. He was beaten by Pat Brady.
Voters couldn't bring themselves to vote for a guy named Nabi Fakhruddin. So Pat Brady goes as a Kasich delegate.
Right, exactly. So there's going to be an interesting number of delegates. But this thing, I think, does still likely go to Cleveland, but I also think that that's going to be very hard if he is the front runner and he's close to the 1237 but doesn't have it on the first vote. It's going to be very hard to take it away from him because I think he is right in this sense. I don't know about riots, but I know that there is going to be a lot of pressure on Republican establishment folks to listen to the will of the Republican voters.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any, you know, I hear all these conspiracy theories of the establishment, and I have a hard time seeing what the establishment is. I guess
you know that's regular code. That's code for moderate Republicans. That's all that is really a code
it's
for.
It's code for volunteers and party regulars sometimes, people that have dedicated a lot of years to making the Republican Party strong. But what happens, I think it will be important for the RNC structure, which facilitates this, to basically kind of take a hands-off approach and say, you know, look, okay, here's the deal. Nobody's at a majority. Now, delegates do what delegates do, which is, you know, look, you're going to have to come up with alliances, ideas, plans, and and eventually come out of whatever ballot that is. And this may well go past the four-day typical show it usually is.
Well, let me ask
come out with a nominee.
You know, you're a young guy, but you're a student of history. And do you see, do you think the Republican Party, the National Republican Party, is splitting apart here? Is this going to be, are we seeing something that's going to lead to the emergence of a new party? You know, back in the 1850s, the Whigs were still electing speakers of the House and putting people up for president in 1840s, 1850s. And by, you know, by the 1870s, everybody looked around and said, where the hell are the Whigs?
Yeah. Look, I don't think so, but I think there is definitely some discussion that's happening. The Republican Party, the differences that exist in it are not necessarily differences in issues. I've actually read an article recently that said the Republican Party is almost more monolithic than it's ever been in terms of where it stands. The differences we've had in the past are largely on tactics. How do we get to this goal that we want to achieve, you know, smaller government, stronger military, et cetera? And but then you have a guy like Donald Trump that comes along, and really, I have no idea what he stands for. I really don't. I have no idea what he believes.
He doesn't stand for the old Republican consensus. And I was in Iowa. I heard his speeches. I've heard his speeches here. He inveighs against free trade. He wants to change the rules of trade. He's against that Republican consensus. And as you know, he's peeled some of your colleagues off of voting for the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Agreement. He is against the let's trim back the social some of the social programs. He's for health care for all. He's not on board that consensus.
He's a populist because he talks about, for instance, you know, Social Security, a very popular thing. Social Security needs reform to save it for current generations, and you can make some changes for a young guy like me. He says you don't have to do anything to Social Security. Well, all you have to do is look at numbers to see that that's not true. It's not only not factual, it's not true. So he's a populist, and I think it's covered in narcissism where really his ultimate goal is himself. So, you know, look, again, it's no offense to people that vote for him. This isn't an attack against people that are kind of reflecting his message and understand it. I'm just saying from my perspective, I'm concerned that continually dividing this country after 7 years of President Obama is not what we need, and that's the kind of message I've been hearing from Donald Trump.
Well, the other piece of this is that he – to your point, it's all about him, right? When asked about policy, he talks about his poll numbers. When asked about what he's going to do, he talks about what great successes he's had as a negotiator or whatever, because he doesn't really have any details on this.
And his foreign policy advisor is himself because he has a great brain. He said that today.
Right. And you know, they talk about generals, you know, who are you going to be your generals? He always talks about TV generals, guys who are on, you know, cable news. He might as well say that he's, you know, Captain Crunch and Admiral Television are his advisors. I mean, it's ridiculous. But people are like, they don't care about the detail. They just want somebody to reflect the feelings, as you just point out, Adam, that he has. All right. But Congressman, let me ask you about this before we let you go, because this is an important developing story. There is a kid, a University of Virginia student, who went to North Korea. He was staying in a hotel there. There was a propaganda sign on the side of the hotel. He started to rip it down. He was arrested by state police. He told them he was ripping it down. He told his friends, his family, and everybody he could talk to back in the States after he was arrested that he was doing it because he wanted to take it as a souvenir when he went back. But they have charged him, and the Supreme Court in North Korea, which means something very different than it does here, has charged him with subversion and sentenced him to 15 years hard labor. Do you think the United States is going to work to try to get him back?
Well, I think we should, and you have to do that probably through China because we don't have obviously much of a relationship with North Korea. I think it's important to find areas where we have leverage. This is a very – I mean, the whole Korean Peninsula, I was there at the DMZ a year or so ago, and it's so volatile. It's like it's still in a state of war. And, of course, under the new leader, Kim Jong-un, who I guess isn't so new anymore, he's unstable. He's even probably more unstable than his dad. You know, typically in history, these people get sentenced to hard labor and they get early releases, but – we can't count on that. And 15 years, you know, these camps, we know about these camps. People go there to die. And this is something that America needs to take very seriously. Again, the kid committed the cardinal sin of taking a souvenir. And then they made him, of course, read a statement that he was a puppet of the United States regime and everything else. So, yeah, it's a very serious situation, one we ought to be very concerned about.
His name is Otto Warmbier. Here he is. Listen to this.
Please save my life. Please think of my family. Give me the oldest son in my family.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. There he is. Absolutely heartbreaking.
In the Supreme Court there. And again, that was just from ripping a poster off of a wall. And, I mean, that's, you know, when you stop to think about the kinds of things that can happen, and I'm not, you know, I'm not crazy enough to tie, you know, the United States or Trump or anything into stuff like this. But when you do have things happen in a culture, history has proven this time and time again, and people want to just break it and start from the very bottom, strange things can happen. And people who should not accede to power do get it. And you can get very, very, very bad outcomes. And, you know, clearly you've got that on the Korean Peninsula. And when you and it takes a very strong America our Western European allies and the Chinese, who, you know, are a significant culture and economic reality, and the Russians and everybody else, to stop and say, no, we're going to stop. You know, we're not going to let these kinds of crazies, whether they're in North Korea or in Iran or anywhere else, threaten the stability of the world. And now here's some 21-year-old kid from the University of Virginia who's caught, you know, under the wheels of that gigantic bus. Very quickly,
right.
Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, do you think that the Senate is going to hear a Chicagoan here who has been Merrick Garland, who is a D.C. district court judge, has been named by Barack Obama as a nominee to the Supreme Court. Do you think Republicans in the Senate will hear this? I know that's not your branch of the legislature,
yeah,
but what are you hearing?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. And you know, thankfully we have a blessing from Schumer and Biden, where they both said the same thing under a Republican administration. I think it's time, you know, let's let the American voices be heard in the next 8 months. You know, the question will be, if it appears that Hillary might win, though, I wonder if it'll be interesting if people change their tune. But I think Mitch McConnell's taking the right approach, which is let the American people have their voices heard.
All right, there he is, Adam Kinzinger. He goes on now. I'm just going to tell you something. If Trump hears what you just said about him, there's going to be. He might be upset. He might sentence you to 15 years of hard labor.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And he might tweet. He might tweet at me. Oh, heavens.
Loser.
That's a tough
you,
guy. Tweeting.
You are hashtag loser. Do you think, actually, we're going to have Daniel Carcillo, one of the great enforcers in NHL history, 94 confirmed fights in his NHL career, and 12 suspensions. Do you think that Donald Trump has ever thrown or taken a punch?
No, I don't think so. In fact, he's a germaphobe and doesn't stay in other hotels because he's afraid he's going to catch germs. So it doesn't seem like a very tough guy to me. He just speaks pretty tough, and he does that, and he overpowers everybody when he talks.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Take care.